Nerds Talking, the podcast.
Yo, we talk about lightsabers, stunning your TV screens, what you want to stream, everything beyond your dreams. Want to talk about movies, sports, or even politics? Go ahead and tune into us, we'll give you all of it. Whatever your debate, Xbox or PlayStation, Marvel or DC, Mac or PC. Teraflops when the movie drops, gigabytes, chips, RAM, no matter what it is, we got all of it. Welcome to the show.
Nerds Talking, the podcast.
Welcome to Nerds Talking, the podcast. I'm here with Carlos, Laura, and I'm Lafayette. Another Friday, another show. So, did you guys, by any chance, watch the Grammys? Anyone?
No.
Okay.
I've been seeing a lot of pictures of Miley Cyrus on my Facebook feed for some reason, though.
Is it like the one with the gold dress?
Yes. Like, what makes you think that I give a fuck? I mean, these people show up on the red carpet half naked constantly. What do I care?
True. They made a big deal because they were saying she looked like the bad guy from Ghostbusters.
Nah.
That's what they're all saying.
No, the big deal is not that. The big deal is her bodyguard was holding an umbrella. For some reason, he was holding it with his like pointer finger sticking out as he was holding it. So some were trying to say he had a concealed weapon. But he was just holding an umbrella. That's all he was. Some people hold an umbrella like that. Yeah, her bodyguard.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Why would she need an armed bodyguard at the Grammys? Nobody's after Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yeah. Her ex-husband, right. Maybe?
The Illuminati. Illuminati? What?
I don't know. Oh, the Liam-inati, because Liam Hemsworth is her ex-husband. So there you go.
There you go.
The Liam-inati.
You got it.
Yep. No, I watched it. I always watch the Grammys, though. It's always... You know, women ruled everything in the Grammys this year. Literally, every category. There was 10 nominees, 8 were women. Like, so.
Woohoo!
Yep. So men didn't really win much outside the rap category. That's literally it. So, yeah, big winner was Taylor Swift, Album of the Year. So.
I mean, shocker. That's all I fucking hear about is goddamn Taylor Swift, especially in like the Midwest, because she's dating that Chiefs guy. St. Louis doesn't have their own St. Louis football team anymore, so we're like globbed onto the Chiefs. So all my Facebook feed is just about Taylor Swift and the
Travis
Chiefs.
Kelce.
They're just like, shut the fuck up. I don't give a shit.
Wow, someone's jealous.
Yeah, someone's really upset.
No, it's the algorithm annoying the hell out of me. Like, if you're supposed to be so smart, give me things I'm interested in. Blech.
You know what, though? It is Friday, so for all you True Detective fans, because you know we're talking True Detective, episode 5 comes out today. They're releasing it 2 days ahead of the Super Bowl, so watch it today.
Good idea.
Read about that.
So check that out. As we talk about episode 4 a little bit later. Here's some quick tidbits for you. Zootopia 2. Anybody interested in seeing the sequel to Zootopia?
Yes.
Comes out in 2025. Two other movies that got announced today that are coming out in 2026. Toy Story 5 and Frozen 3.
So can do without both of them.
Well, I think Frozen 3.
Like Toy Story.
No, I'll do another Toy Story. The Frozen series, they need a third one because the second one was absolutely horrible.
It was trash.
It was just horrible. Yeah, no good. The Mandalorian and Grogu movie was announced, also coming out in 2026.
That's supposed to be like the finale of the series, right? That's what I heard. Like, they're building up, and then once the movie hits, it's over.
It is a Jon Favreau thing, so I assume so.
Yeah.
Also, we have just quick Disney movies coming out this year. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is May 10th. Inside Out 2 is June 14th. Deadpool 3 is July 26th. Mufasa, The Lion King is December 20th. That's all their movies for 2024. So there you go. There's Disney's lineup if you want to enjoy that. We also are going to talk about the Netflix show, The Greatest Night in Pop, on Netflix now. It is about the recording of We Are the World and how it happened, how it came together, who wrote it, and so forth. So we will talk about that. And Carlos, anything else you got for me, by any chance? Laura?
Wait.
You do now.
Yes. So I tried to watch Zorro on Amazon.
Were your eyes closed?
Man, it was not good.
It looks horrible.
Episode 1, I mean, just the filming and the choreography of the fight scenes, it's just not good. And what's his name? Danny Rojas, was that his name from Ted Lasso?
Oh, wait, he's Zorro?
He's the first Zorro. He's the Zorro in the first, like, 10 minutes, and then he dies.
Got it.
And everybody in this town or in California knows Zorro is never one person. It's just somebody takes multiples. Over as Zorro.
Oh, yeah. Multiples. That is the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then so De La Vega finally shows up, becomes Zorro. But what's dumb about this is I didn't watch episode 2 because episode 1 was not good, but everyone's going to know who Zorro is because he's the only Mexican dude with blue eyes in town. And he's not hiding his eyes when he wears his mask. He's got these strong blue eyes. I'm like, hey, I know you. No, you don't. I'm Zorro. No, oh, you're De La Vega. Oh, no, I'm Zorro. Oh, yeah, it's really bad. It's not good.
Is it in English or Spanish?
It's in Spanish.
That's what I thought.
Okay. And I don't know what it is with these series. Like, I got to give it to the Koreans. When they do movies and they dub, it's pretty good. I mean, the voice acting is good. But these other shows, whenever they have their voice actors are just horrible. And it just doesn't look good at all. But I'd rather watch Zorro the Gay Blade than this series. That was much more entertaining.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Laura, right. Do you know what Zorro the Gay Blade is?
No, but it sounds very intriguing.
Back in the 80s, George Hamilton was Zorro. I believe this was the sequel to Zorro. And what had happened is Zorro jumped off a balcony and sprained his ankle, could no longer be Zorro. So he calls his cousin in. His cousin just happens to be his twin. Calls his cousin into town to play Zorro as he's mending from his hurt ankle. And this guy, he doesn't use a sword. He uses a whip. Not only that, he doesn't wear just black. He wears yellow. He wears pink. He wears blue. He wears green.
So he's super flaming.
He's fabulous, basically. He's a fabulous Zorro. It was an entertaining
very
movie.
Progressive.
I remember seeing it in the drive-in theater with my parents. It's a 20th Century Fox movie, Zorro the Gay Blade.
Well, there
very
you go.
Progressive.
You know, better than the TV show, apparently.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go. There you go. Also, do you guys know the news about Vince McMahon?
He's Zorro.
But he's, well, I mean, not. No, he is not Zorro. He is being prosecuted by the federal government for
is
trafficking.
That WWE Vince McMahon?
For yep. What?
For trafficking.
No
sex
kidding.
Trafficking.
This is the WWE?
Yes.
Wow.
WWE guy? Vince McMahon. Yep, you are correct.
Wow. Ooh, tell me more about this. Tell me the deets.
Vince McMahon, basically, where he lived in Connecticut, he had his own like little side apartment from his actual home because he was a sneaky devil. And he had a neighbor move in, a young woman, and he offered her a job at WWE. In exchange, she would have to do whatever he wanted. And that means basically have sex with other wrestlers, co-workers, and so on and so forth. And he'd even use her to sign people to contracts like Brock Lesnar, who's no longer part of WWE, got dropped this week and he's not even mentioned anymore on the website.
Good.
So it's one person. He trafficked supposedly one person. Isn't that just pimping? He basically pimped her.
He didn't make money off of her. It's not really pimping so much. You're trafficking
but
somebody
he,
for your
no,
game.
He doesn't have to make, but he doesn't have to make money off of her. He's still using her to gain something.
Well, yeah, but that's more
it's
trafficking.
It's crossing
though.
Of state lines, I believe.
It
is. Sex
it is. Because, she went on the road with them and he would make her do threesomes and so on and so forth. And like, I mean, he just went all out. He already paid her once $3 million to keep her mouth shut, but she's suing him
well,
again.
Yo, he's a pimp. He gave her money.
Well, no, it was a lawsuit.
That would be my defense. I'd be like, hey, yo, I'm a pimp. It's
got
to be a
lesser
sentence.
That would be your defense.
Not
but it's,
legal.
It's got to be a lesser sentence than trafficking and sex trafficking. That's why I'm saying if I was Vince, that'd be
your defense. I'm a billionaire pimp.
I'm
a billionaire
How
pimp.
How old was she when this relationship started? That's
only,
the key.
Only in her 20s, and he was already like in his 60s.
Like 160.
Well, I mean, it all goes down to like what leverage and everything that he had. Because I dove in deep this week on Epstein after you know, our guest and talking about the Epstein documentary, I hadn't seen it on Netflix, and so I watched it. Watching it is way different than hearing or reading the summaries, because watching these girls talk about their experiences is very different than hearing it kind of secondhand. What world do these men live in? I mean, it's got to be in this completely narcissistic world to think that, like, you're going to get away with it. You know what I mean? Like, relative to all the other people that are getting called to the mat about the shit that they have done and not gotten away with. What makes you think you're so goddamn special that it's going to pass you by? Pure narcissism.
It's all power. It's all. Yeah, they think they have power. Move. That's all it is.
Makes you fucking crazy.
And yeah, after watching the Netflix series, you still think he killed himself or he was murdered?
No, I never thought he killed himself. No.
Oh, I always thought he killed himself after he was murdered.
That.
No, he was definitely murdered. That man, somebody killed that man.
Of course. He knew where he yes. knows everyone that was on that island participating in all the craziness. And people don't want that out at all. Zero.
And I'm guessing somebody in the government killed him. Somebody with enough power in government.
Well, of course.
Pull this off in this jail. Did this.
Yep.
100%. 100%. Yep. But as for Vince, so he had to resign, of course. And he...
I thought he was already out, though. I thought...
No, he came back.
Stephanie and Hunter were taking over.
No. Stephanie resigned like 3 months ago. Hunter's in charge with The Rock now. The Rock's actually in charge. And yeah, I know. Crazy, right? TKO, who owns WWE, put The Rock in charge like a week or two ago. As soon as they found out about the Vince thing. Vince resigned. And so his charges are not just trafficking. It's also sexual harassment, sexual, you know, abuse, yada, 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 yada. So... A whole plethora of charges. So
I'm going to guess a lot of those female wrestlers were probably offered a little something extra for becoming a female wrestler. That's just how Vince comes off as, to me, anyway.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure, especially the ones that can't wrestle for shit. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So Vince McMahon, you will never see him again in WWE ever, 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 ever. So. The man that created rest, essentially, for what it is, he's pretty much out of the picture.
Won't be missed, I'll tell you that.
No, Vince was past his prime. He was pretty much done. So, no more Vince McMahon. Good riddance to Vince McMahon. So he's
bye-bye, douchebag.
There you go. Douche McDouchey. So, he is gone. And, Laura, do you have an update for us on your Fen? On your Fen Fatale?
I do, my single Fen. So it's been a month now. I just weighed in yesterday. It hasn't moved from the last time that I weighed in. So still holding at 4.5 pounds down. But I'm not going to blame that on the Fen. I'm going to blame that on me. Had a bad couple weeks. You know, Aunt Flo came to visit.
Ah, yes. Good old Aunt Flo.
Had some weekends.
Yep.
But here's the thing. This is the nice thing about it. Is that usually when I weigh in and, like, I haven't made any progress, I'm like, fuck this. Fuck everything. I'm not so fucking worth it. This is very low effort. You know, like, because I take it, you know, at like 10 a.m. and then I eat lunch and I'm not hungry until dinner. Like, it requires very little effort on my part. So I'm not like I'm not discouraged by the scale not ticking down, because what pissed me off about Weight Watchers, because I was trying so fucking hard and not getting anywhere. Now I'm not really trying that hard. I'm just taking the pill and kind of letting it do its thing. So I'm not super discouraged. I'm like, okay, I haven't lost any more weight. Shoulder shrug. Let me just keep doing what I'm doing for another couple weeks. We'll see where we are.
Well, there you go. That's good. Positive. You know?
Truly, like the acceptance phase, it's really invaluable. When you're a person that's really hard on yourself, like I am, you know, just being like, meh, it is what it is actually a really powerful thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I lost 7 pounds so far this year, right? And
good
but
for you.
But I haven't used the rest. I didn't use the restroom for like the last 5 days. And I was like, and I felt super heavy. Like, what the hell's going on here?
5 days?
Yeah, for like 5 days, right? So then, and then I take fiber every day, like a lot of it, right? Like just a drink. I mean, like a drink. And then I weighed myself. All 7 pounds were back. And I was like, what in the hell's going on? So then I went to go use the restroom. Let me tell you something. It wasn't a pleasant experience. 7 pounds were put into that toilet, and I got up back on the scale, and there it was. Literally went right back to what it was, and I was like, "Holy shit! I was packing that much in me." Like, it was like, "What the hell's going on here?"
Get a colon cleanse and see how much it affects you.
Oh, it's wild! It was wild. I mean, I was just like, because I'm a regular person. I go every day, but something clogged me up. Something I ate.
What happened?
Something.
Were you taking any medications? Anything
no,
unusual
I don't take,
that you don't,
I don't
normally
take,
do?
You know what I think it is so I was told not to take fiber pills. So don't take like pure fiber. What is it called? It starts with a P.
Metamucil.
Well, yeah, Metamucil can do it too, but the actual ingredient of like the certain fiber that they put in all these, you know, certain. Anyway, if you take those pills, what it does is it just balls up in your gut. It'll break it down, like it'll turn it whatever, but the fiber literally balls up and can expand also. So it can just like be, and that's what happened. I mean, I think I basically a football came out of me. Like that's how
Super
much
Bowl it, Sunday.
Super Bowl into the bowl. 7 pounds down the drain. I mean, it took like 6 flushes. Let's put it that way. And it wasn't, but yeah, but I felt great afterwards. I literally felt like, holy crap, I literally just lost a ton of weight. Like, but I do take a colon. No, I took, I forgot, it's called Colon Broom. I take it every day. Colon Broom.
Colon Broom.
Colon Broom. It sweeps everything out. But I accidentally took fiber pills one day because I was like, I don't want to make my drink. And I think that did it. Just the fiber pills fucking got me good.
Ah, okay. That makes sense, because if it's not diluted in a bunch of other liquid,
yep,
that tracks. Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no bueno. Do not take fiber pills.
I will say, from taking the Phentermine and just I've just haven't been eating as much sugar and everything, I will say that my back hurts a lot less. They say sugar is inflammatory, you know, that it you know, it makes your joints and your muscles inflame, and it's not helpful. I can say that I definitely feel a little bit more spry. If I had some more fucking time in my life, maybe I could hop on a goddamn elliptical. I wish that my work life wasn't so crazy, because the first couple weeks of my new job, like I was hopping on the elliptical every day, and now every day, like I have a calendar reminder on Outlook to be like, you should hump on the elliptical, and I'm like, fuck that, I'm like, dismiss, because I'm just fucking elbow deep in it. And then the day ends and the kids go to bed, I'm like, I'm fucking tired, I just want to sit here. So
yeah, do jumping jacks instead, they're better for you anyway. So
truly, cardiovascular impact. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Jumping jacks and jumping rope and burpees. Those are the winners, man. When you want to exercise
fuck
at
burpees,
home.
Man.
Nah, burpees suck too. I hate them, but those are the winners. Full body movement. That's what you want. Get an elliptical machine, maybe for 15 minutes, but nah, don't do more than that. So,
okay.
Carlos, good how call. About you? How much weight have you lost so far this year before we go to break?
I haven't weighed myself this year.
Ah, he's the good one. He's smart. He's smart. He's just
really. That's the road to freedom. Just don't worry about it. That's the road to freedom.
You go into his bathroom, and the scale has an out of order sign on it. He just sticker that he put on there. Like, nope. Nothing. Okay. Well, there you go.
No, I'm not doing it.
Nah, it's not doing it. Staying away.
Are you still going to the gym? No, like Johnny, I imagine, is busy.
I have. Yeah. No, I still do, but I just haven't in the last 2 weeks. I've been sick.
Good for you.
That should have made you
keeping
lose
on
weight
that
then.
Gym routine.
Yeah.
That's the opposite for me. When I'm sick, I'm like, I feel like crap. I'm going to eat things make me feel better.
No, I'm not that way for sure. I just lay around and do nothing. And it could be any type of thing that, and I think I'm dying. So, you know, not like, what do you call those? Oh, hypochondriac? Not like that. Like if I'm really sick though, like with the flu and I'm like, God damn, I have no energy. This is the end. This is the end.
This is
and
it.
then and then I realized to myself, I did masturbate yesterday and survived, so it'd be worse.
Did you listen to the most recent episode of Impolite Society?
Not yet, but I will.
Take a listen. But all about that, man. Cart versus the horse.
There you go. All right, let's take a break here on Nerd Talking the Podcast. We'll be right back after this.
Hey guys, this is Joey Valentine with the Fat Guy Loves Cake podcast, your favorite podcast or soon to be favorite podcast.
That miserable little bag of puke.
Shows are 3 times a week on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's observational humor where I talk about things like movies, music, the 1980s, and more. I also talk about subjects I know nothing about, like what women want and how to please them. Not to mention I complain about getting older and fatter.
I'm having chest pain.
3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with me, your favorite podcast host, Joey Valentine.
This show uses potty words like fucking shit and ass and stuff, so children should not be listening.
Joey Valentine.
Available on all streaming platforms.
Welcome back to Nerds Talking the Podcast. I'm with Carlos, Laura, and I'm Lafayette. Remember to rate, subscribe, review, turn on notifications, tell your friends every Friday, new episodes of Nerds Talking the Podcast. We're going to get into a Netflix show that just came out. I guess you'd call it a documentary.
It's a documentary.
It's called The Greatest Night in Pop that took place in 1980. You guys remember what year it was?
85.
Okay. 1985. It's the making of We Are the World. And if you're not aware of what We Are the World is, it's when all these famous musicians came together to create one song about, I should say, to raise money for, what country was it for?
Africa. Ethiopia.
Ethiopia, right? Like specifically. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. We'll jump right into it. We'll start with Laura. Laura, The Greatest Night in Pop. What'd you take from it? Did you enjoy it? And after that, we'll hear what artists you would use today for your We Are the World.
I'm not the target market for this documentary, for sure. Like music, I tap my feet to music. It makes me feel happy. It makes me feel sad. But music is not interesting to me in the way that other people find music interesting. I don't care what celebrities or what musical celebrities are doing, what they look like, what is involved in their lives. It doesn't occur to me. I mean, once they release it, it is what it is. And I listen to it and it becomes what it is to me, in the sense of like, I don't care what inspired the artist. It's what the song means to me. It's a very personal thing. People's obsession with pop stars, I've never truly gotten. And this whole thing, what I took away from it is that this should be a documentary about Harry Belafonte and the work that he has done, because he's the one who actually did something. He gave these fucking self-absorbed rock stars an avenue to use their massively inflated ego to help real people. That's what I took away from this whole thing. It was unwatchable. Like, I had to fast forward through parts because I was like, just shut the fuck up. Yeah, you made a fucking song. Oh, poor you. You stayed up, you know, late with a bunch of other ego inflated people to make a song. And I understand that it was very impactful to these artists and they look back on it very fondly. It was like, it's the greatest night. And I understand why. They are isolated creators. They don't have to work collaboratively with other big egos. So for them to come together with this greater purpose, a greater purpose that's more than their own art or their own wallet, of course they fucking loved it. And of course it meant a lot to them. Good for them for putting aside their ego for one fucking night to make a song that raised millions of dollars. Like, good for you. I'm glad that you did it. But also, sit down and shut the fuck up. Maybe you should do this shit more often.
Okay, wow. Tell us your real thoughts. Holy shit.
It really got me. It got my guy all up.
That was quite the takeaway there. Wow. Okay. What did you like about it?
Nothing.
Okay. Well.
Like I like the fact that they raised millions of dollars for people who have real lives and really are in need. That's the only thing I liked about it.
All right. Okay. I mean it's hard to rate this type of movie, you know what I mean? Like, oh, if you have to rate it. You can't really rate this so much.
I mean, and like I said, I'm not in the target demographic. So, I mean, me, 1 out of 5. But other people might have totally different perspectives because I'm not the person that cares about this kind of stuff.
I guess what is the target demographic, you would say?
I don't know. What do you guys think about it? Are you in the target demographic?
I would say we are.
I'm going to say yes.
People we listened to a lot growing up. Carlos, what would you take from The Greatest Night in Pop? Because Laura fucking hated these narcissist bastards that are trying to make themselves look good to the world.
First thing I thought was this could probably never happen again. And they're lucky they pulled it off the way they did on the night of the American Music Awards, where everybody was in town. It was a great plan to have everybody get together on that night. What they did was pretty amazing. You got to see some of the true colors of the people in the room, though. Bob Dylan clearly was out of place. He was a sore thumb in that room. Was Al Jarreau a drunk? Couldn't even do his lines. They had to get him to do his lines quickly before he got too drunk to do his lines. Prince didn't even bother showing up because he's a Class A douchebag.
He wanted a solo.
Shocker.
Yeah. Waylon Jennings.
Oh, man, that was too funny.
He's like, yo, I ain't doing no Swahili. I'm out of here. Which was stupid as hell. That Swahili part was so dumb.
It was. Stevie Wonder had the stupidest idea. What's funny is that they contacted Stevie Wonder 3 weeks prior. He shows up like, okay, we're ready to write. No, you fool. The lyrics are right here. I'm sorry, you're blind. You can't see him. But
yeah,
we're done.
He was writing the song.
Yeah. Well, let's add some Swahili into this. And then the dude from Live Aid, he was there. He put together Live Aid. He said, no, they didn't even speak Swahili in Ethiopia. Move along. But it took about an hour for them to finally convince Stevie to
about
shut up.
When Stevie was creating words? And people
no,
said, what
was
does
Michael
that even
Jackson.
Mean?
Michael
was
Jackson.
Michael Jackson,
it.
Yeah, because he was trying
just to make
a
something
word.
Sound ethnic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. People were like, what is that?
But even he was like, this shit makes no
so
sense.
So disconnected to reality. Again, you're just like, sit down and shut the fuck up.
Whoa, he's blind.
But you know they would have listened to Michael and his sounds because he invented Mama Say Mama Sa Mama Kusa, right? And that means nothing.
He did. Doesn't mean anything. Sounds great, though. I think it means we'll get the butter out of the kitchen.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Oh, and yeah, then Huey Lewis took Prince's lines because, like I said, Prince is a dickhead. No, but I thought it was great. I would recommend watching it if you are, I guess, a Gen Xer or an 80s kid or something. You like the 80s music. Then, yeah, definitely watch it.
All right. Well, there you go. We Are the World, The Greatest Night in Pop. No, I thought it was great because just the idea that, oh, we're going to create this song, it has to be done on this night after the awards show. But we're going to, the fact that Michael Jackson pretty much wrote it. I mean, I know Lionel Richie was there, but Michael pretty much wrote the song.
I think Lionel probably just wrote the opening lines, his lines.
Yeah. And then, but everybody.
It's a shit song.
I mean, at the moment, it was great.
It's not good.
When it came out, it was fantastic.
The Band-Aid song is so much better. The Do
that
They
song
Know
is
It's
horrible.
Christmas is
Which one?
So much better.
The Christmas song?
Do they know it's Christmas time?
That's why Harry Belafonte wanted to do this song. He goes, a bunch of white Brits are raising money for Africa.
Raising money for Africa, yep.
But black people aren't raising money for Africa. So it was originally supposed to be an all-black ensemble. But then they decided, can't make money that way. We got to bring in all the top guys. Who's killing the hits? Who's killing the charts these days? Let's get all of them in here. And that's where it ended up.
I was kind of surprised, though. They didn't get Madonna. They wanted Madonna.
Well, that's I thought was funny, too, because she was standing right next to Huey Lewis when the press asked, hey, where are you going after this? Oh, I can't talk about it.
And she's like,
standing right there.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm so fucking coked out. I don't know. I'm going to go to a party and roll around in my underwear.
Me and Prince. Just me and Prince are going to be hanging out at the bar.
Well, yeah. And then what's funny, they wanted Van Halen. I was like, that would be nice.
They were on tour. Yeah.
They were on tour.
They had a legit thing.
But that would have been an odd, like, you know, adding Van. I thought that would, like, but then again, they had what? They had two of the Jackson Five, not including Michael. They had Tito and Marlon.
They also had LaToya, which made
and they
no
had
sense.
LaToya for, you know what that was? That was just, hey, Michael, come on.
Yeah,
whatever. Come on. That's how Mike's real voice was, if you guys didn't know. He's like, yeah. You guys can come with me. Shit, I got time for this.
And then Dan Aykroyd was there.
That's how he really talks.
That's how he really talked. Just didn't know.
Some yeah, Dan odd reason, Dan Aykroyd was there.
Yeah, they really wanted to
bring
Dan
the Canadian
Aykroyd.
Actor, Dan Aykroyd.
But you know what it was? Those people were just there for the We Are the World. No one knows who's singing that
for the
part.
Chorus, right? And just for the name on the jacket, right? On the album jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Because right.
Bette Midler was there. Was Bette Midler a singer before an actress or an actress before a singer?
She's always
she only
singer.
Has one real song, right? Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah, but she's always been a singer. So, but my favorite singer of all of them, though, was Bruce Springsteen. He's my favorite. You know, when he's doing his own lines and all that. When he sings, he's so intense. It's crazy.
Yeah, it looks like it hurts.
Yeah, it looks like it hurts. Yeah, looks like it hurts. And the part where Stevie Wonder had to show Bob Dylan how to sing his part, and he was mimicking Bob Dylan, I was like, oh, that's exactly how Bob would sound if he did his part correctly. And that worked. I mean, like I said, if you're a kid of the 80s and you listen to all this music, it was all fantastic. Cyndi Lauper, I'm like, oh my God, you are just that voice. That's just, you have great, you have like three really great songs, but that voice, oh my God, it's just horrendous.
She doesn't talk like that anymore. It's the way she talked back then is not how she talks anymore.
Oh, she talked back then.
Yeah,
like
she had that little girl voice, the little Barbie
yes.
voice.
Yeah.
And a very sexy baby.
Yeah. Like she was Betty Boop. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really fucking annoying.
But it was very entertaining because, like I said, if you're a fan of the 80s and whatnot, it was entertaining. But if you watch it towards the end, you can tell, like, Michael Jackson, after his party left, he wasn't even in the documentary anymore. It's like, I'm out. Peace. I mean, everybody was doing that. Am I done? I'm out of here because all this drinking and hanging out, like, I'm good. I got to go.
Too many fucking famous people in the room. I'm not the center of attention. Fuck this. I'm out.
Well, Michael's the only guy who actually dressed up, like, in Michael attire.
Oh, he showed up for a music video.
Yeah. Everybody else was just, you know, casual, just. You know,
it's a recording
out of the
session.
Living room. Yeah.
No, Mike knew. Well, look, Mike showed up like 5 hours beforehand, recorded by himself, and he's like, "I know I'm in a music video. Like, film me, do my part by myself."
Yeah, like, he had his shiny jacket. He had his shiny socks.
His aviators.
His aviators.
Yep. And then he's like, "I don't gotta go to." He even skipped the awards. He's like, "F the awards. This is me. I'm taking credit for all this shit." And he kind of did. Not gonna lie.
He performed at the Super Bowl.
He did. He performed a Super Bowl by himself. He's like, I'm going to do this shit my damn self. Like, so, I mean, here's the sad part. If he was to release that song, it would have been just as popular if it was just him by himself.
Yeah, just, yep.
If it was just Michael doing We Are the World, this money goes towards this, it probably would have been more popular, to be honest, if it was just him and going benefit towards that cause. It probably would have been more popular, but... Yeah, like I said, it was enjoyable. It was interesting to see them put it together. Nowadays, though, they wouldn't have everybody come together. They would just be like, I did my part, emailed it to you. Did you get it? Yep. All right, cool. And then some producer would put it all together, and it would sound like they're all in the same room, and boom, done. There you go.
That was another thing that I found irritating, where, like, the coordinators or the people who are like, I mean, this was the old days, so we had to, like, call everybody and put tape in the mail. I'm like, oh, boo-hoo, so sad. It's so hard for you. Life was
better.
So hard back then.
if they had Michael call everybody, hey, how you doing, Bruce? I'm gonna sing a song for you, okay? So here we go. I sing a Mike, We Are the World. Whoa, whose voice is that? So no, all that was interesting. The tapes and the secrecy, and even the guys are recording in the booth, they're like, we have to keep rewinding the reel to reel. Yeah, it was all very interesting, but I enjoyed it. You know, again, though, it was a nostalgia of, man, that song was huge when I was a kid and all these people were on it. But here you got to see who left and who didn't give a shit. Like Sheila E. got totally dicked. She was promised her own part, but she was really just there to get Prince. That's all she was there for. nothing else. And once she couldn't get Prince, they're like, we don't need her anymore. We can kick rocks. So
I was surprised they didn't give Billy Joel his own piece.
Of all the guys sang, in the room. Yeah, he just sang Billy We Are Joel. The World, right?
He was only in on the chorus.
Yeah, you know, maybe they asked.
There's only so many egos that you can jam into one song. Well, not somebody just that has too. To be in chorus.
They all got what, 5 words? Maybe
I know, but like of all of them, the one that has the least ego is the guy who got Prince's lines.
Well, exactly.
Oh, Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
Oh, he, yeah. And he didn't even want to do it. Like, he was kind of nervous.
He was like, super was like, nervous. Like, all these like, guys shit. Are, all yeah. these eyes are on me. Michael Jackson. Like,
yeah, yeah. And he's like,
Stevie
I'm not
Wonder.
A singer,
I mean,
like these guys.
Ray Charles. I mean, Bob Dylan.
You know what? When his part came in, he should have been like, this is it. Like, Huey, no. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I want a new drug.
Yeah, I want a new drug. Mike's like, which one?
No.
Propofol? I got some propofol in the back.
Propofol, yeah, sorry. I got it wrong.
Oh, yeah, it's Mike. That's why Mike left early, too. I didn't get some sleep, you know what I mean?
Best sleep of your life.
Yeah. Who are you going to sleep with? Oh, no, that's not right. All right, so there you go. The greatest night in pop. Now we're going to, everyone has a list of who would they pick for their pop artists. Now, what we're going to do is we're just going to go around the room, okay? Now, you pick 5 people. If you duplicate someone else's, you have to pick somebody else, all right? Okay? That's it. And
they all have to be American.
Yes, they have to be American.
Okay. They have to be pop stars.
Yes, pop stars, yes.
And if you want to sub one for one foreigner, you're allowed because they had Dan Aykroyd.
Okay, so but does that have to be a Canadian pop star, though?
Doesn't have to be Canadian. Just
foreigner. Just in general. I got it.
In general, yeah.
All right. Laura's going to go first. Laura, you give us your top pop star. You would like, they said, Laura, you have to pick these people for us. We're making a new We Are the Universe. What are you going to, who are you going to pick?
I'm really bad at this shit. I don't really follow new authors.
Just
or
pick
new
so
writers. Lizzo is the first one that comes to my mind. Lizzo. I don't know.
No one's buying this album. No one's going to buy the album.
She's
not canceled.
No, she
presented at the Grammy Awards. I was very surprised when she came out and presented the Grammy Awards.
Because they're trying to give her a comeback.
That story didn't last long at all. It was 1 week in, 1 week out. Done. No one even gave.
They still
a
haven't
shit.
Heard anything of her when was the Grammys?
It was Sunday night. This past
Sunday night.
Yeah. Lizzo, number one. Interesting choice. Right, that was a very interesting choice. Wow. Okay. Carlos?
I'm going to do kind of like the producers did for We Are the World. I'm looking for unique voices. So my first unique voice is going to be Miley Cyrus.
Okay. That's also a very interesting one, too. Miley Cyrus. All right. I would pick Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars is on my list. He'd be my number one. My number one would be Bruno Mars. Laura, who would you pick?
I'm just going to go as weird as possible. I'm going to go Nathaniel Ratcliffe.
Nathaniel Ratcliffe.
You guys might know. The only song vaguely popular, not outside the indie pop scene, is Son of a Bitch, Give Me a Drink. It's like a...
Don't know it.
You know what? I'm going weird. Yeah.
That would be it. You could have just said Lou Bega. It would have just been the same. Carlos?
There you go.
Mine list in no particular order, because obviously you're going to have a chorus of 30-some people singing the chorus, right? My list is just people who get the solos.
Oh, okay.
So then my next on my list, like I said, no particular order, John Legend.
Yes. He'd be that. Yep. That'd be good. John Legend. That's a good pick. Yeah. So Miley Cyrus, John Legend, Lizzo, Nathaniel Radcliffe.
Waylon Jennings. He's the Waylon Jennings of our group.
Yeah. He's not even that popular. I just don't know who this guy is. But interesting. I mean, if we're going to go left field, I mean, I'll give you a left field one. I mean, Anthony Kiedis. I mean,
oh,
there you go.
That's not bad. That's not left field.
I know who that is.
No, you know who it is, but. You can have all these pop stars. You have Anthony Kiedis. I think it's a good pick too, Anthony Kiedis. I actually think it's a good pick. Yeah, Laura.
I'm going through my Spotify playlist. I'm like, who do I even listen to? Regina Spektor. There we go.
Who the hell is that?
Wow. So, Regina Spektor.
You know her, some of her music, but she's a Russian-born folk singer.
Oh, wait.
Russian-born.
This
is
her foreign one.
America's only.
Oh, there's your foreign.
Sorry, I get one. I get one.
Right, it's one foreigner. She picked Regina Spektor.
Regina who?
I don't know.
Spektor?
She's only singing the hook.
You'd
she's
know
she's
her.
A villain from the second James Bond film?
She's only
sounds like
sing,
she should be, yeah.
Spektor.
The other world. She's only going to sing that part.
Okay, for all my right. Next, I got Beyonce.
Ah, yes, Beyonce.
That's an obvious
be,
one.
Beyonce. Well, you got to go with, you know, go with the
you
obvious
gotta go
ones.
What's going to sell?
What's
going to
sell?
Record.
Yeah, we're going to sell records here, Laura.
Sell all right, all
records,
right.
For heaven's sakes. And you're over here giving us Regina Spektor? I mean, what? Sheesh.
Russian Jew.
My foreigner. So it'll be my foreigner. I'm going to go with Dua Lipa as my foreigner.
Good choice.
That's my foreigner.
Good choice.
All right, Laura, you already used your foreigner. You're up to number four. Has to be an American.
Lady
Remember,
Gaga. I'm like, again,
oh,
thinking of music I
choice.
Listen to
right.
That have been
great
released
choice.
In the last 10 right. years.
Oh, no. She could sing. When she sings like her like ballad songs, yeah, she belts them out. Good choice. All right. Carlos, who's next on your list?
Are we doing five only or 10?
You have 10?
I
God,
10.
No.
Okay, we'll let you finish your list when Laura and I finish our five.
Well, let me throw in my
foreigner.
My foreigner, because you took Bruno Mars. I had him on my list as well.
He's not a foreigner.
No. I mean, you said
oh,
if you already have
general.
Someone on your list, replace him. Yeah. So Ed Sheeran.
Ah, yes, Ed Sheeran. That's a foreigner. There you go. That's a good one. Okay, I just had one too, and it literally just blanked out on me. Now I'm like, who am I gonna pick now? Ed Sheeran, that was a good one. Oh my god. You know what? Let's go with.
How can you not pick the obvious? It's right in your face. Right in your face. It's on my list. It's on my
you
list.
Sing? Oh, Justin Timberlake.
I had him on my list too, but he's not selling records, man.
Well, people his new album comes out in a couple weeks. So
I know, but he's already getting bad press for his single.
His single's not the greatest, but you know, he can't keep releasing the same type of track over and over. So I'll go with I'll go with NSYNC. How's that? The other four can sing back up on the hook and then he can sing.
There you go.
Solo
good
part.
Idea.
So,
why not?
There we go. NSYNC. Laura, what do you got?
Laura,
this is number five. It's your last pick.
Nelly. I'm gonna go Nelly. St. Louis.
Nelly's a rapper though.
Yeah, it has
I
to be
know.
Pop
so?
Artists. Yeah,
oh,
no.
Pop artists.
How about
none
Toby
of my
Keith?
People are
go
pop.
Toby Keith.
I don't like fucking country. Fine, Toby
before,
Keith.
Oh, wait, too late.
I'm
he's dead.
Raising money
he's
for
late,
Africa. I don't care. Oh,
he
God,
died.
He's dead. Who's another? Garth Brooks. There we go. That's another country.
I like that. Oh, God, he's dead.
Do music. Like I said, I listen to music that I like. I don't know who they are. I just like what I like.
Best answer yet, though. Okay, Carlos, give me your fifth one. Oh God,
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's an obvious call.
Yeah, good. Of course, Taylor Swift. Yeah, good choice there. Let me look at my bag of tricks here and let's see what I got here. I'm gonna go with Miley Cyrus was taken already. So let's go with John Mayer.
Not bad.
John Mayer. He'd be good. John Mayer.
Is he gonna do it without playing a guitar? He doesn't get a solo.
He doesn't need a guitar. You know? No, did Bruce use a guitar? No.
Who?
Bruce Springsteen. No. Yeah. Carlos, give me your 6 through 10 that you have left on your list.
Okay, now these people I have on my list because of their unique sounds. Well, most of them for their unique sound.
Okay.
Like my Bob Dylan of the group is Post Malone. Because I don't understand a word he's saying. I don't understand a damn lyric he says.
Okay, Post Malone.
Then we got another unique sound, Billie Eilish. Because she whispers everything.
Yeah, that's a good one, though. I don't know, it wouldn't fit that song, I don't think, but good one.
I know, but she could probably do like two words, right?
It's okay.
Solo, two, right. Solo. Michael Bublé.
Oof. Wow. Okay.
All right. And then we got who else? Oh, Ariana Grande.
Yeah, that would work.
And my last to round it out would be The Weeknd. He's my last pick, though.
Ah, yes. The weekend will be good. The weekend will be fantastic, actually. Yeah. You know what it is? It's what's missing with this group that we just came up with is the Huey Lewis and Daryl Hall.
Oh, that's
you know,
right.
We're missing the Bruce Springsteen type of guys like that, you know, especially the Bruce type. And you're missing, again, the white soul guys like Daryl Hall and Huey Lewis.
That's what I was hoping Buble would fit in, because he's a crooner. He's not so much a soul guy, but he's a crooner. But I couldn't really think of a soul guy.
A soul guy.
Robin
right?
Thicke,
yeah.
maybe?
Yeah, he'd be good. Yeah, Robin Thicke would be good. Not really relevant, but. Yeah,
no,
he'd be good show. No. But then again,
not everybody there was relevant. I mean,
everybody that was singing their parts was pretty relevant in the
original. Oh, the solos, solo artists were for sure.
Yeah, I mean, probably the least relevant of the solo artists was, she's probably Al Jarreau, really.
Oh yeah, and who came after Cyndi Lauper?
Oh, after Cyndi was... Oh, you're right. That's right. I forgot her name, but you're right. You're right. After Cyndi was like a nobody, really.
Yeah.
Like, how did she get her own part? I don't get it. Like,
but you know who else was kind of... Dianne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick. Oh, but she's Dionne one of the best Warwick. Parts of that song, though.
No, man.
No, she sounds great in that song. Diana Ross sounds good in that song. You know who sounds really good in that song? Willie Nelson.
Yeah, he did. But so did Bob Dylan. When it's all said and done, when you hear the final track, Bob Dylan sounded good.
Yeah, but see, to me, Bruce steals the show. Springsteen.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Just
that and Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
About
those
two lines.
But Bruce did the little ad-libs at the end, and he just steals the show. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That's We Are the World. Our song will not be called that. It'll be called We Are America. Suck It. And that's our song to be called. Oh, plus a couple of foreigners that came
America.
Over the border. Open borders.
America, fuck yeah.
You know what we call it?
Sanctuary cities, fuck yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so there you go. All right, we'll take a break here and let's talk on the podcast. When we come back, we're going to talk True Detective. Oh, boy. Laura has some things for us, I'm pretty sure. Right after the break.
New episodes of Nerds Talking every Friday. And don't forget about Taco Tuesdays every Tuesday, only here on the Nerds Review Network.
Welcome back to Nerds Talking, the podcast. I'm here with Carlos, Laura, and I'm Lafayette. It is time, our weekly True Detective catch-up, you know, recap. Episode 4 came out. Episode 5 is today if you have HBO Max. Check it out. And Season 4... is still on a what the hell path. Still on a, oh, now we see ghosts. Okay. So things are not adding up, or are they adding up? Laura, episode 4, True Detective of season 4. Oh boy, she's ready. Rolling the eyes and everything. What do you got?
What even happened this episode? I'm serious. What even happened? Nothing. I mean, at the end, she saw a ghost and started bleeding out of her ears. End of episode progress.
Better
otherwise,
out of her ears than, well, you know.
I mean, thinking about it, you know, I'm always trying to, I make a point to myself. I have a gut reaction, and I always try to give myself point counterpoint. And the counterpoint to me is that this is a new experience for me. I have never watched True Detective week to week. I have always done it, you know, in like long form. Like I watch two or three episodes. Then the next night I watch another, you know what I mean?
You binge it.
It can't. Yeah. Yes. And it can't be improving my experience doing this week to week, but God damn, none of this shit makes any fucking sense. And I feel like I'm watching Lost. And I mean, the polar bear only adds to the nonsense,
the
you know, of
bear.
The lost
oh
feeling.
Yeah.
Only I'm not 21 anymore, and I have a lot less patience. And all I have is questions, which is fine in theory, but if you aren't going to answer any questions episode to episode, like Lost, I have to be invested in the B plot, in the characters. I am not invested in any of these fucking people. Nothing is likable. I'm not interested in anything going on. Like, there's no relatability. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm sticking with my last week theory. There is a thing. He brought his lady back to life. The microbe has escaped. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. But you're not wrong about that. The B story, the B subplots, man, I could give a shit. I don't give a shit about her stepdaughter. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about Evelyn getting her ass kicked. None of it. Matter of fact, that was pointless on its own. Like, okay.
I don't even give a shit about the sister who died. I'm like, I don't care. Great. Less screen time to devote to your bullshit.
And that showed you, though, she died the same way. I fold my clothes. I walk into the ocean. What made her do that? Blah, blah, blah. But you're right. We got nothing out of this episode. Like the last 3 minutes were like, okay, now what? Like that's literally the whole episode.
Why is there a Christmas tree in the fucking
basement?
Why
is there a Christmas tree?
And I'm like, at first
batteries.
I was like, clearly she's hallucinating. But then Danvers shows up and you can see the lights reflected in her face. Nope, that's happening. There's a fucking Christmas tree down there. Wow.
And you got the flashback of them on another case or whatever it is where she supposedly sees a dead person.
A ghost. Yep.
And I did not see the Sixth Sense kid at all anywhere. So she clearly, something's happening. The contaminated microbe water, blah, blah, blah. I was with you until this last episode. I was like, what? Now I'm confused a little bit.
I think she is the wild card, right? Because she has this family that, you know, mental problems run in the family.
Yeah. They all die or some shit. And they all go off the deep end. Yeah.
Off the deep end. Yeah. So, you know, there's some hereditary schizophrenia or whatever else. And so you might see things, I guess, a little bit more accentuated in her case. But then, of course, Jodie Foster, Danvers, she's seeing fucking one-eyed polar bears. So I don't fucking, like, again, I'm in Lost, only I don't give a shit.
Wasn't that polar bear in episode 1 or 2?
Yes.
It was earlier. Okay.
And it's Evangeline's teddy bear.
Saw it. Yes.
Oh, yes. That's right. That's right.
The teddy bear with the missing eye. It's her son's polar bear.
All right. Well, Laura is lost, and we'll see what happens today on episode 5. Carlos, how about you? Episode 4, True Detective.
All the same way. I'm like, where is this going? This is giving me nothing new, except for the sister died. I'm with Laura. I'm like, hey, I don't care. And then she got beat up. I'm like, cool. I don't know why she even did that. But all right, whatever. And nothing, like, it gave me nothing. It gave me, like, we finally saw Otis. We found Otis. We still haven't found Raymond Clark. Clearly that family has schizophrenia because the orange came out from under the bed. That's what made the sister finally lose it, I guess, when she saw the person under the bed. And then,
but that's the thing. How do they both see the fucking orange? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Evelyn
had the orange. Evelyn had the orange.
Yeah.
And she threw it and then it came back to her. But her sister didn't know about that. So how does her sister see the orange later? It makes no fucking sense.
Could be
midgets.
That's the first of all. You know it is. First of all, it's midgets behind this whole thing. And number two, it's some type of time loop. Like when she threw the orange into the darkness, it actually went from under the bed. And then when she threw it back under the bed, it went back to her.
Mm. And that's actually a better fucking theory than anything else I've heard.
It's complete bullshit, but yeah, that's the way the show is going. It's just what I got. I mean, the best part of the episode was the dad realizing his Russian bride's not coming for Christmas. Oh,
not
no.
Real.
Not that made me real. Sad.
Not me.
And also, John Hawks is so old, and it makes me realize
I know.
I'm aging.
Yeah, he looks.
I didn't
recognize him until I saw his picture of his younger self.
I didn't either. Yeah.
Crazy old. I was telling Carlos, I watched American Gangster this past week, and he's one of the co-stars in that. And I was like, man, he looks old as shit in this movie. I mean, this TV show. He already looked old in American Gangster, and that was like 2007 or some shit. Like, but I got nothing. I got the ending intrigued me. When all of a sudden I know she can see shit, and I'm like, oh, okay. But then I'm like, why is she bleeding out of her ear? Number one, I don't.
And why didn't her retinas get burned? It seemed like everyone else whose eardrums bursted, their eyes got burned, and
I just got nothing. Hopefully today's episode gives us a lot. And that was just a setup for something spectacular. But I've got I'm right back to square one. Like, which is I guess a good thing. I don't know.
No, it's not a good thing. I've heard that this is only a 6-episode series, not an 8-episode series. Which means these last 2 episodes are going to have to be fucking breakneck to just clear up what's going on.
I could see that, honestly, because it is kind of, it's weird how we got nothing, but I can see that build up to already get to the end at this fast, because there's no other backstory or interesting character plot that's giving us anything we really give a shit about, you know? Just like we always talk about season one, how that gives us so much besides the main story. These background stories are crap. Like they're just not that interesting. I mean, I'm most annoyed by the stepsister, stepdaughter. I mean, hopefully she's next to get whacked.
Truly. There's only, part 6. There's only 6 episodes. These next 2, you better get to fucking expositioning the shit out of this.
It kind
of
jumps around too, right? Because the stepdaughter wasn't bad, but she kind of pulled the hair away from her face. She was kind of like, oh, this poor kid or whatever it was. Next thing you know, she's getting a phone call. The kid just wrote on the lab doors, murderers. Like, what did I miss? But then again, it's nighttime all the time, so.
But that
the
part
passage
does,
of time
but that
isn't
part does,
obvious.
It did make sense, right? Because she joined that whole protest.
No, I'm not
group,
saying it
whatever.
Didn't make sense. It's just
part. I know.
But
the
only thing I got from this episode was that Danvers apparently slept with everybody in town.
There's nothing else to do.
Yes.
I mean, there's only like 36 people in the town.
And she's clearly, her life, she's just miserable. Her life is just useless. She's just miserable. She's drunk.
I mean, she's obviously miserable. Yeah.
That turkey was still good.
She fucking lost her
upset.
Kid and her husband.
That is true. Yeah.
Then I'd be fucking useless.
How did she lose her husband? Does it say how they lost?
They don't say. The husband and the son presumably died in the same thing. It's got to be a car accident, because the first episode she gets in a car accident, she steps on the glass, and there's like a really brief flashback to something that happens in daylight, and then her stepdaughter makes some cryptic thing of like, we never talk about that day, especially after today. So we've been in another car accident, so something happened. Was she drunk? I don't know. I don't know that they died in a car accident. I put money on it.
That's okay, you know.
And which one do you think shot the guy at the house, Danvers or the other one? What's her name?
Evangeline.
Evelyn.
I think her name is Evangeline. I think
you're
wrong.
Are you sure it's not Evelyn?
I think it's Evelyn.
I'm not sure, but let me look it up.
Evangeline is too holistic.
Evangeline Navarro.
Yes. Nathaniel Radcliffe. I got you.
Yeah. One of them shot that dude. They're just not saying which one yet. Who? Evangeline?
Evangeline did, yeah.
Wait, which dude are we talking about?
Wheeler. The guy that they keep flashing back to that she's...
Oh, yes. Okay.
I suppose they don't talk anymore because
of
that case.
The old...
Yes. Okay, yeah. Again, don't know. I guess we're just like the show. We have to wait till today to... God damn this show. God damn it. I mean, it's just... It intrigued me at first and left me like, wait, what? You wasted an episode. That's what it felt like. You wasted an episode. Like... You could have gave this little ghost or whatever thing halfway through the episode and then gave us something different. But you gave us a bunch of wasted exposition, just waste. This is all just filler shit. Like,
well, after the sister died, I actually paused it. How much time is left? Is this the end of the show already? Because it happened so quick. And then I'm like, no, there's still half a show left. What are they going to give me now? This is kind of like a cliffhanger thing, right? They usually do at the end. Yes, I guess they should have ended it there.
We got a bunch of failed Christmas, and then
that's true.
We got a young cop
Christmas.
Yeah, the young cop arguing with his wife, or not really arguing so much, but like he
Which
puts
again,
in way too much
I,
work.
Why should I care? It's just it's so thin. Everything is spread out so thin. I just I don't care. I'm not invested. I do. The woman out in the ice shack in the middle of nowhere, Rose, who's got like this grand buffet. She is the only like side character that intrigues me.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, there's nothing there. There's, I mean, so far, hopefully, like I said, there's two episodes left. This shit better be good. It better be like, like, really.
It's not going to be. I'm sorry, Lafayette. I'm just
no, you shut your mouth.
It's not going to be good.
Crazy. Yeah, when she didn't let Pryor go home for Christmas Eve, just so can check on Tagog, that could have waited. I mean, you already waited a couple days already. That could have waited. Wasn't that big a deal?
I think she's definitely, she's like you said, she's got nothing going on. She hates herself. She hates her life. She's going to ruin everyone's life around her.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You know,
the stepdaughter can't have her own culture, like culture and everything. Like to her, it's stupid. Like everything that's culture related to those people, like don't do that shit. What the hell's wrong with you? Like you're better than that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I get anyway. So yeah, I can't even rate this episode. It felt incomplete. It just felt like there's nothing. This is going so far. What would you rate this season so far? Let's go alphabetical A through F. What's your letter grade so far? And am I gonna get extra credit today to get the grade up? Like, what's your grade so far?
B minus.
That's high. Okay, B minus. That's you're gonna go lower, Carlos.
We're not at the end of the semester yet. So.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Every single there's a test today. We'll see if you can improve your score. Like,
it started as an A, but now I'm giving it a C.
Yeah, I'm the same.
That's pretty high.
Episode one, that's I was like, high. Oh, okay, this is intriguing with the frozen icicle people, popsicle. But yeah, no, I'm gonna go with. C minus so far. I'm telling you, C minus. It's heading towards a failing grade. It's heading. At first, I was like, oh, it's gonna pass. No, if season one was an A plus, season two was a B minus.
And you're right. They're really trying to shoehorn season one into this show.
Oh, they're trying hard.
Because I rewatched
so many fucking
one.
Spirals. Oh, you rewatched it? I was gonna ask if you had rewatched.
Well, I just started watching the first episode, and the spiral was tattooed on the first dead girl.
Yep.
And they tied that into this one, or they're trying to tie it into it.
Keep watching, Carlos.
Restart.
You'll love
I'm
it.
I'm restarting that also. I'm restarting so we can talk about season one. So we're all gonna
no,
talk
I am.
Season
I'm gonna,
one.
I'll probably finish it by next recording.
Because how disappointing this season is, it made me have to go like wash my mouth out of this garbage and watch
truly.
Season one.
Truly.
Yeah. And high hopes for you, Jodie Foster.
I know. That's like the stat. I feel like if Jodie Foster wouldn't have been in it, I wouldn't have had high expectations.
You know, Jodie Foster was auditioned for Princess Leia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Horrible casting that would have been.
That would have been, even in her prime, I can't picture her in the slave Leia outfit.
Not at all.
No.
Agreed.
Not at all. That no. Well. All right. Well, I guess you guys will tune in next week and we'll tell you all about, see if we get the grade still holds and if we get something really good. I mean, it has to be good. The way this episode ended, where they're at now in the show, like where the characters are at, you can only turn the volume up and give us something that actually matters. So we'll see.
And where are they at?
Remember, I told you.
Where
Santa Claus
are they
is
at?
Behind this shit. I told you guys this already in the text. Santa Claus.
We're in the night country now.
Oh, that's right. That's a whole thing, too. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Crazy Otis.
Come on, just,
why is everybody named Otis crazy?
That is true. Every Otis in like a show or a movie, they're
like
always
crazy.
Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel.
Crazy old Otis.
That's like crazy Otis from the very first Friday the 13th. He's hiding in the pantry. And
Otis.
For some reason, I don't know why he's in the pantry. But they open the door, he comes out. You're all going to die. You're all going to die. And then they're like, oh, that's crazy Otis.
Yeah, okay, Otis. If you're an Otis, you're crazy.
Or drunk.
Shit.
Either drunk or
drunk. Or the last Otis I've seen on a TV show was actually... on a Netflix show called
a
Sex
Dog.
Education.
Oh.
And the main character's name is Otis. And
Milo,
he's not crazy
Otis.
Though, but yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
No. No. Oh, okay. Anyway, great show. All right. Well, there you go. Tune in next week. We'll let you know. Matter of fact, tune in tonight, episode 5 of good old True Detective, Night Country. And
True Detectives, False Hopes.
Yeah, that's what they should have called it. True Detective, gotcha. Like, oh, what do you mean? We gotcha. We hook, line, and sinker. And the Super Bowl's this week, so watch that too. So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Who's even playing? I don't even know.
San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So, hey,
oh,
your team.
Chiefs again.
That's
no wonder
right.
why
your
I can't
team.
Stop hearing about it.
I mean, do you watch for the commercials by any chance? Or do you watch for halftime
show?
No.
The only reason I would watch the Super Bowl is if I went to a Super Bowl party that had food.
All Super Bowl parties have food. Holy shit, there isn't one to leave.
Well, that's what I mean. If I went to a Super Bowl party.
Gotcha.
My neighbor has one sometimes.
Ah.
He might call me and say, hey, come on over.
Come join us.
So if he does that, then maybe I'll eat some nachos.
Okay. Reba McEntire is going to sing the national anthem. And Usher is the halftime show.
I'll be skipping the halftime show.
No, I'll watch it out of intrigue, right? Because I'm like, Usher. Because when Maroon 5 was doing their, 3-4 years ago, it was horrible. Absolutely dreadful. But I was like, I got to see it because let's see if they can perform on a big stage like this. They were not good. So we'll see.
All right, Lafayette, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
The 49ers.
I got the Chiefs. Laura, who do you got?
Chiefs?
All right. You're about as confident as the season 4 of True Detective.
Hundo.
All right, thanks for tuning in to Nerds Talking the Podcast. Anything left, Carlos?
I got nothing.
Laura?
I have something.
Henry? All right.
Oh.
So don't say Nerds Talking the Podcast. I have something to say. And that is Masters of Air. Really fucking good. Three episodes.
The Apple
in.
Show with Austin Butler.
That is right.
Very, very good. I was skeptical. I was like, I don't think they're going to be able to rope me in because like the Air Force stuff has never drawn me in the same way. I feel like it's kind of impersonal, you know, up there in your different planes. And but I was completely wrong. I am 100% engaged. And Austin Butler looks so much like a young Val Kilmer. It's distracting. And he is so pretty, like not in the sense that, you know, it's not my type. Like, he's too pretty to be my type, but he's very distracting because he is so fucking pretty. Like, but even just aside from that, it's just really fucking good. And I'm really excited to watch the rest of the series. So I definitely recommend it. Apple TV. If you're a fan of World War II and Band of Brothers, check it out.
Did it remind you of G.I. Blues?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's an Elvis movie. Lafayette's trying to be a smart ass. One thing I've been disappointed in so far is Download season 3. I just realized this is the same guy who created it. The same guy who created the American version of The Office and Parks and Rec. But I thought this would be a much funnier show. It's not. It's horrible. It's not a good show.
Okay.
What is it?
That's where I stand.
Download?
It's called
on Amazon.
It's called Upload.
Is it upload? Download, upload, whatever.
It's where when you die, you can actually upload your consciousness into a server mainframe and you can live there as yourself still, like a digital copy of yourself. And you'll still be alive because your consciousness is still going. So that's what it is. And then people can pay.
But you can download into a real body. That's what they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, you can download into a real body. Exactly.
Upload, download, download.
And it's not funny?
The first season was so good.
It's supposed to be funny.
Here's
and
the thing.
It's not
the first,
funny?
Well, the first season's so good. It's like True Detective all over again.
Oh God.
Season 1.
Yeah, the first season
I can't
was
handle
good.
It again.
It set the bar really high. And then it's season 2. Season 3.
Well, I thought it was gonna be funny because the guy worked on Parks and Rec and The Office, the producer, or the creator. It's not good.
They can't all be winners.
No. This is not a winner. All right. I don't see
I'll
a season 4
it.
Coming.
No, I highly doubt it. All right. Well, there you go, everyone. That's our show. For Carlos.
Bye-bye.
For Laura.
Goodbye.
And I'm Lafayette. Thanks for joining us here on Nerds Talking the Podcast. We'll see you next time.